When you have two parshas mechubarim, the Avodram quotes two minhagim. Which haftarah do you recite? The haftarah is always supposed to be connected with some theme in the parsha. The principle is haftarah is supposed to be minyan de yoyma. So when you have a regular parsha sashavua, so the minyan de yoyma is whatever the theme of the parsha is. If it's tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, it has nothing to do with the parsha. Macha Chodesh is considered minyan de yoyma. If you have a chosen, so on the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they used to always lay a special haftarah to be a chosen. It had nothing to do with the parsha, but that was considered minyan adiyam. So when you have a normal parsha sashavua, when you have two parshas mechubarim, so the Avodram quotes two minhagim, whether you say the haftarah of the first parsha or the second, we usually follow the practice that we recite the haftarah of the second. By Achrei Mos Kedoshim, it's a long arichas. They have printed, you do say, you don't say, it's a whole back and forth. The reason why is because in the Mishnah Megillah, there's a machlekes hatanaim. Apparently what used to be the practice was whoever got naftir would pick whatever section of Navi he chose to, as long as it had some connection with Inyana Diyayma. So the tanaim have a machlekes, is it permissible, is it proper to choose to lain a haftarah from Sefer Yecheskel about Toevus Yerushalayim. So Reb Lezer the Tana says, "Hey, haftirim Toevus Yerushalayim." It's not proper. The Navi was told by Nevuah to deliver the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, but we should choose that Nevuah to speak about Toevus Yerushalayim. That's not right. So the haftarah that's printed for Kedoshim, there are two haftarahs printed for Kedoshim. So, and this Chumash. And different chumashim, there are different haftarahs printed for Achrei Mos and for Kedoshim. So in this chumash, it happens that both of them from Yecheskel, one Yecheskel chapter Chof, one Yecheskel chapter Chof Beis, and both of them start off Hasishpot, Hasishpot, Isira Domim, V'haydayt is called Torah V'yisera. Tell the people in Yerushalayim this, the bloody city, both full of murderers, and give them tochacha about the Toeris Yerushalayim. And then the next one also starts off like that. Hasishpot osam, hasishpot ben adamus to avos avosam hodiyom. So both of the haftaras are Toevus Yerushalayim. So even though we don't pass like that Tana, Pashtus Yochd v'rab malachi kirabim, but the minig always developed that we avoid, since it was an issue, so we avoid reciting that haftar. So that's why the minig usually is that when you have Achrei Mos Kedoshim, so we say the haftar from the first week, which is not Toevus Yerushalayim. Or we usually avoid saying that after either we say Macha Chodesh or Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, they say Hashamayim Kisa, you always figure out some teretz why you don't say that after. Once in a while you'll have a year that Achrei Mos Kedoshim are separate and it's not Erev Rosh Chodesh and it's not Shabbos Rosh Chodesh and there's no teretz. So then the question is, do you really say that after to Eves Yerushalayim? So Rav Soloveitchik said that where he came from in Europe, the meaning was that they said 2 weeks in a row, Alok Hivnei Kushil, because they wanted to avoid this Toevus Yerushalayim. And then they print, if you look in the Levush says the whole thing is a mistake. The Levush says that neither of these haftarahs are the ones that the Mishnah is speaking about. The Mishnah says it's not proper to. The Mishnah quotes the Tana Reb Lezer that it's not proper to be maftir b'Toevus Yerushalayim. Is not speaking about either of these. He's speaking about a third parsha in Yecheskel, where Yecheskel Anovi says the fact that the children are so bad indicates something terrible about the parents. Avraham Avinu must have been terrible. And Sora Habitu al Avichem al Avraham Avichem al Sora Tuchol Alchem. Your parents must have been terrible. So that's what the Tana says. That's not right to recite that Haftarah. The Navi was told what to say, so he had to say it, but we shouldn't say it over in Haftarah to complain about Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu because of the fact that they have such miserable descendants. But the both Haftarahs that speak about Toevus Yerushalayim, that's the theme of the Parsha, all the Averis that the Parsha speaks of. So the Levush claims that neither of these haftarahs is what the Mishnah is talking about. But the minig is not like the Levush. I mean, it usually is we avoid saying the haftarah of Toevus Yerushalayim.
Some years they will do it.
I mean, whatever Whenever
when
it's separate?
I think only when it's separate.
When it's separate, then it's not there Rosh Chodesh, and it's not Rosh Chodesh. So they say, as is printed in the Chumash.
Last year, Shabbos Acher in Mos was Shabbos HaGadol, but they do the regular Shabbos HaGadol when it's not there Pesach Chavias B'Shabbos, so then they did that.
Okay, they're different minhagim. Very good. Acher Mai starts off with this special dinim of Avodas Yom Kippurim, and we know that in Parshas Hamor there's another series of korbanos that were offered on Yom Kippur. That's the Musafim. The two different sets of korbanos. The korbanos on Acher Mai are for the purpose of Kapora, Mechilas Havainas. And the korbanos on Parshas Hamor, like every Shabbos and Yom Tov, you bring a Chalmai, you bring Musafim. The Mishnah describes that the Kagadol has to do all of these avoidas. In the Parsha it says that the Kagadol has to do the avoida. V'chiper ha-kohen ashim shachos avashay maleyas yodo l'chayin tachasoviv. So the whole avoida, that's in Pasuk Lamed Beis, at the end of the whole... The Parsha begins at the beginning of Perek Tezayin, the avoida is Yom Kippurim. So in the 32nd pasuk, it says the Kohen Gadol has to do this avodah. Rashi points out from the Gemara, that's the Kohen Gadol had Meshicha b'shem and Mishchas HaKodesh. The old Kufas Bais Rishon, the Kohanim had Meshicha b'shem and HaKodesh. Yoshiyahu Melech was Goynes b'shem and HaMishcha. During the period of the Bais Sheni, they never had any Kohanim who were Meshuchim b'shem and HaMishcha, because the Shemen HaMishcha was Nignas. So how did they have a Kohen Gadol? So that's the next phrase in the pasuk. Vashei Malei Es Yodo. Vashei Malei means either or. Ashiim Shachoso or Ashei Malei Es Yodo. It's not Vav and Ashei Malei. Rashi says Ashei Malei. Eni Yala Moshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha Meruba Begodim. Minayin Tam Lai Mal Ashei Malei. Either the one in Moshuach or the one who has Meruba Begodim. The two kinds of Kohen Gadol. So the whole Avodah on Yom Kippur has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. That only says in Acher Mais. The avoda, the korbanos that are described in Parshas Hamor, or the tamidim that are brought every day of the year, that also needs a kohen gadol. So the Mishnah says in Yom the kohen gadol did everything on Yom Kippur, even the tamid and even the musafim. The question is, were there payosim? Were there payosas every day of the year? They used to have a lottery, sort of, a pious, to determine who will have the schus to shech the Talmud, who will have the schus to be makta the ketoyres, and so on. Every avodah had many payosas every day. So Yom Kippur, the Balamor, the second perek in Yuma, is dedicated to the payosas, as all the details are the payosas. So the Balamor writes, it's a little strange that the whole second perek of Yuma is all about payosas, and he says on Yom Kippur there was nothing to have a pious about, because the Kohen Gadol had to do everything from the beginning to the end. There was nothing to have a pious about. So the Ramban in the Melchamas comes to defend the opinion of all of the Gaonim who wrote piyutim for reciting the Seder Havoida on Yom Kippur. So everybody has four payosas on Yom Kippur also. So the Ramban says, how can it be that the Balamor is the only one who knows the secret, the truth, that on Yom Kippur there were no payosas at all, and Kohen Gadol did everything, and all the Goyim made a mistake. Everybody, all the Paitonim, everybody who wrote payosas made a mistake. So he says the simple reading of the Mishnah is that the Mishnah says there were payosas in the Beis HaMikdash every day, and it's a Maseches Yoma, the whole second parak. So the Pashtus is that Yom Kippur there were also payosas. Not the same four payosas that they had every day of the year. Mishochet, Mimikabalas Adam, and Mizorikas Adam, Taka, the Kohen Gadol did all of that. But to retain the concept that there were four payosas on Yom Kippur, like every day, so that he defends and he explains there were four avodas that were not done by the Kohen Gadol. First one was Trumas Adeshin, that's done by Lila. So he said, that's 2 days in Tosis. Did the Kohen Gadol do the Trumas Adeshin or not? So the Balamor says the Kohen Gadol did nothing. The Balamor says the Kohen Gadol did everything on Yom Kippur. There were no payosas for anything. And the Ramban is defending the Paitonim, so he says, no, the first pious was on the Trumas Adeshin, like the other opinion it has. And it explains what the other three payosas were, why there were exceptions to the rule. Some of the avodas were done by Kohanim Hedyotim. the Keseh Mishnah, beginning of Hilchas Avodas Yom Kippurim, and the Rama quotes a Ritva on Yume, that he's not so convinced that the halacha really requires min haTorah that everything should be done by the Kohen Gadol. The Pasuk only says it at the end of Seder Avodah, so the Kohen Gadol is needed for Avodas Yom Kippurim, but for the Tmidim also, and for the Musafim also. The Mishnah says the Kohen Gadol does it, but it could be that that was only midirabbanan. It could be that min haTorah you only need the Kohen Gadol for the Avodah, for the purpose of Kapara. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim. You have one set of karbanos in Achrei Mois and another set of karbanos in Parshas Emor, the Musafim, and they don't correspond to each other. There's one karban that's the same. Ayel la'oilo. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. Ayel ha'amakan hu ha'ama b'chumash apkudim. The ayel that's mentioned here in Achrei Mois, is that the same one? What am I talking about? Parshas Emor. It's not an Emor. Emor has all the dinim of the Yamim Tovim. Pinchas has in Chumash apkudim. Parshas Pinchas has about the Musafim. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim. Should I assume ayel ha'amakan hu ha'ama b'chumash apkudim? The ayel la'oilo is the same, or they're two different ayelim? The Pashta says that they're two different ayelim. This is part of the series of karbanos, the set of karbanos for the purpose of kaporim. Whatever is in Parshas Pinchas, that's for the Musafim. The Pashta says should be two. We don't pasken like that. We pasken ayel ha'amakan hu ha'ama b'chumash apkudim. So that's a pella. So why is it written twice? Why is it written both here and over there? So the Chochma Sodom, in the end of the Sefer Chochma Sodom, quotes a whole fantastic Chiddush from the Vilna Gaon. It's based on a Sifra, but it's known in the name of the Vilna Gaon, even though the Tanoim said it. Somehow the Vilna Gaon made it more popular, that he interpreted, and there was a Hayruah Shoah in the Midbar. The Shaila is if it's the same ayel, so why is it written twice? You get the mistaken impression as if they brought two ayel. So the Vilna Gaon had a chiddush nifla that these karbanos, v'zos yov Aaron, how does the parsha begin? Dabei al Aaron achicha v'al yova b'chaleis ala kodesh, v'zos yov Aaron ala kodesh. So it doesn't say that it's on Yom Kippur. It doesn't say that till the end. The very last pasuk in chapter 10, says, once a year. Once a year. It says it all the way at the end. Why doesn't it say it in the beginning? It's so unclear. So the Vilna Gaon claims, and the Chochma Sodom quotes all of this, and he says that there's such an opinion in the Sifra that there was a Hirah Shoah for Aaron HaKohen that whenever he would want to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, not only on Yom Kippur, he has a right to do so, provided that he wants to ask a Shaila of the Ribbono Shel Olam or something, very strange idea, he had the right to, but provided he would bring all of these Karbonas. The Karbonas, this Seder HaKarbonas is mat to him to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for whatever purpose. And then the Pasuk says it. And then, if it's not going to be Yom Kippur, then he's not going to bring the series of Musafim that are described in Parshas Pinchas. So then that's why it says over here in Ayel Yoylo. But if it happens to be on Yom Kippur, and then the Pasuk says, whether he wants to or not on Yom Kippur, he has to bring the series of Karbonos for the purpose of Kapora. So when it's on Yom Kippur, we say, Ayel Ha'amakan Hu'ama B'chum Shapkud. You don't have to duplicate it. And if it's all year long, and for some reason or another, the Kohen Gadol Aaron HaKohen only, or Hirosh of Aaron HaKohen, if he has a desire, a need, to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for some purpose or another, then he brings the series of Karbonos without the Musafim. So then he has to bring the Ayel. If I reference a lot of additional kashas, the Chochma Sodom in the end of the whole Sefer, the very last page in the whole Sefer, so he quotes a whole series of kashas. This is a very pronounced one. If Ayel, we pass on Ayel HaMakan Hu'ama B'chum Shavkudim, so why is it repeated? The psukim give you the mistaken impression that you bring two elu. So, and then the other kashas are the ukim and the shinas. Why does it say at the end of the parsha that it's only once a year? You should have said the beginning of the parsha. This is the famous chiddush of the Vilna Gaon. The way the avodah is described in the Chumash, the avodah is Yom Kippurim, it sounds like the avodah is divided into three units. First, the Kohen Gadol does avodah the big day Zov, then he does avodah the big day Lavan, and then he concludes with the rest of the avodah. He wraps it up in the big day Zohov. The Mishnah says we don't do like that. We divide the avoid into five units: big day zov, big day lovan, big day zov, big day lovan, big day zohov. And each time we learned, we were talking just yesterday, the other day, each time the Kohen Gadol wants to, each time any Kohen puts on big day kuna, bizmanche big day malayim kunosam alayim, he gets an additional kedushas kuna. The two levels of kedushas kuna: there's kedushas kuna shebamigdosh and kedushas kuna shebigvulin. A Kohen who's not wearing big dekun is not allowed to go to the cemetery. He duchens, he's not allowed to marry a grusha, and so on. A Kohen who's wearing big dekun has kedushas kuna shebamigdosh, and he's kosher lahakrovas hakarbonis. So when he puts on big dekun in order to elevate his level of kedushas kuna to that of kedushas kuna shebamigdosh, he has to go to mikveh. Whenever you want to elevate the level of kedusha, when a nochri is bole his gayer, or when the Kohanim were chosen, when the Levim were chosen, so they had to go to mikveh. So the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to go to mikveh five times, because each time he puts on big dekuna, he's endowed with a new level of kedushas kuna, because he took off the first big dekuna. He has to go to mikveh five times. So that's the Gemara says Gemiri Chamish Tvilas Vasar Kiddushin Toivol Kohen Gadol Mekadosh Bo Bayom. That's Gemiri. We usually assume is Halachal Mashem Esinah. Rav Elvelo Soloveitchik has in his Sefer on Yuma an interesting comment. He understood that the Ramban and the Mohammed says this. Sounds like it from the Mohammed. If you do the Avodah the way it's described in the Chumash, if you Mishana, they say the Avodah, you're not Yotze. So you have to do it the way you're supposed to. So the Ramban sounds like he says, if you'll do the Avodah in three units, Big Dezov, Big Dezov, and Big Dezov, the way it's described in the Parsha, you'll be Yotze. You did the way it says in the Chumash. I, by Rashi, quotes in the Gemara, Kol HaMikro Kosov Al HaSeder Chutz Min HaPosuk HaZeh. One posuk, Hoitzos Kaf HaMacht, is supposed to be later in the Seder. So that's what the Ramban, quoted by Rav Elvelo, the Ramban says, no, it's not Shaloi Al HaSeder. If you do what it says in Chumash, it'll be kosher. The Avodah is Al HaSeder. But you won't be Yotze, the additional Kiyam of Gemiri, the Halacha Moshe Mesinai, of Chumash Tvilas V'Asor Kiddush and Toivel Kohen Gadol U'Mekadosh Bo Bayom. So in order to fulfill that added kiyum, so we tell the Kohen Gadol to break up the Avodah and Big Day Lovan into two units. It should be unit number two, unit number four. And you have an Avodah Big Day Zov in the middle, and thereby you might say that Halacha Moshe Messina also, that you should, Kohen Gadol should have Chumash Tvilas V'Asor Kiddush. It's an interesting Kiddush that the Seder is correct. Rav Soloveitchik once made a suggestion, which he printed in one of his collections of drushas, that we have 2 days in the calendar when we celebrate Kabbalah Satorah. We have Shavuos and we have Yom HaKippurim. The Mishnah says, the last Mishnah in Tainis says, La'ayola hemel yisoy yamem toivim ki yama kippurim ke chamishas abov. They used to make shiduchim on Yom Kippur and chamishas abov. So the Gemara says, Bishleim Yom Kippur, we know what they're celebrating. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Lucha Shnias. That was Kabbalah Sator. But what is chamishas abov all about? So the Gemara gives a whole discussion. So what do you mean the Gemara says, Yom Kippur, you celebrate Kabbalah Sator? That's what Shavuos is. Ma matan toraseinu. That's what the Beis Halevi discusses, Reb Shlomo Levilna, contemporary Beis Halevi, they discuss what do you need 2 Yamim Tovim for Kabbalah Sator. So they both give the same suggestion that there are two parts to the Torah, there's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. So when Maimon HaSinai took place on Shavuos, the original plan was that everything was going to be Torah Shebichsav. There wasn't going to be any Torah Shebalpeh. And the Beis Halevi brings many sources from Zohar, and then he brings from the Gemara also would appear like that, that originally Kol HaTorah Kula appeared on the Luchas. And you wouldn't have to, not only the Aseres HaDibros, everything was there on the Luchas Rishonis, and you wouldn't have to work anything out. Any Shali you would have just look on the Luchas, and the answer would be there, somehow miraculously. And then, when the Luchas Rishonis were broken, so the... Medrash says that as Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Harsinai and he saw the people dancing around the Egel Azov, so he saw Osius Parchas Ba'avir, all the extra letters, the rest of the Torah that was written, aside from Aseres HaDibros, flew out in the air. So when the Osius were engraved, so when the Osius flew away, so everything was filled in with stone. So it was so heavy, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't carry it, so he dropped it. The two opinions in the Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchos, so it was so heavy he dropped it. He couldn't carry. Why did it all of a sudden become heavy? Obviously, he was climbing down Har Sinai. It wasn't so heavy. So he means psychologically he's so upset. He saw the people dancing around the eagles. He didn't have koyach to carry it. So the Medrash has a suggestion. No, that he saw osias parchas ba'avir. The whole ksav of the luchos flew away. The ksav goes away. So you don't have empty space. So everything is solid stone. So it was so heavy. So he dropped it. So which is it? Which is it? And then the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Psolachos shnei lachos lavarim karishanim v'chasavti lalachos es hadvarim shehayu al lachos harishanim asher shibarto." So the Beis Halevi quotes from the Zohar, "The second luchas I'm going to write for chasavti haluchos hashnias es hadvarim, not kol atarukula like it was written on the first luchas, only has hadvarim shehayu al lachos harishanim at the time asher shibarto, at the time that he smashed it." He dropped it, he smashed it, that's the machlekes, but at that time it only had the Aseres HaDibros. Before that it had Kol HaTorah Kula written. And then when he came down he saw everybody dancing around the eagle, so the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula flew away, Osias Parchas Bavir, and it became so heavy, so either he smashed it or he dropped it. So at the time that he, Asher Shibarta, he smashed it or he dropped it, at that time it was only Aseres HaDibros. So the Lucha Shniyos only had Aseres HaDibros, only had the text, and the rest was going to be Torah Shebal Peh. The original plan was that everything was going to be Torah Shebichsav, and then the second plan one that it's going to be a Torah Shebal Peh. Why did the plan change? So the Beis HaLevi has Barichas and the Droshas in the end of the second Chelek of the Shalos Shuos. Beis HaLevi has a long Drosha on this, and he quotes Mekoris from Midroshim. Tosis, he quotes Tosis in Gittin Dav Samach, quotes part of the Medrash, but he quotes it more Baharchove. That originally the plan was going to be no nation in the world would ever have shlita over the Jewish people. But then after the Jews sinned with the Chet HaEgel, so the Baruch Shalom said the punishment is going to be that they'll have shlita. So they're going to have shlita over the Jewish people, like the Christians. So they took our Torah and they claimed that they're the Am HaNivchar. They've been claiming for the last 1500 years that they're the Am HaNivchar. We lost our status as Am HaNivchar. So in order that we should have something that they don't have, so the Ribbono Shel Olam changed the plan, and he said he's going to have a Torah Shebal Peh. So they will only be shoylet on the Torah Shebichzav. They'll have the text that's written down. The Torah Shebal Peh is an oral tradition, so the Yom HaSolem will never have that. So even though they'll be shoylet on us, and they'll take our Sefer Torah, and they'll claim that they're the Am HaNivchar, but they won't have the Torah Shebal Peh. Now everything is written down. Now they have all the art scrolls. Now they have everything. They have all the Gemaras. They have Galochim who know Aramaic and study Gemara with Tosfos, with Marsha, and they have art scroll. They study it in English, and that's a problem. Okay, so the, and they take a claim that they are the Am HaNivchar. Yeah. So that's what a Beis HaLevi, and that's what the Reb Shlomo Lavilner writes in his Sefer, and what's the name of Reb Shlomo Lavilner's Sefer? I forgot. So they both say the same thing. We need two Yamim Tovim for Kabbalah Satorah. Shavuos is the Yantav of Kabbalah Torah Shebichzav, because at that time the original plan was there's only going to be Torah Shebichzav. And then Yom Kippur is when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Lucha Shniyos. So that's the Yantav celebrating Kabbalah Torah Shebal Peh, because the Lucha Shniyos only had the Aseres HaDibros, and the rest was supposed to be transmitted Bal Peh. So Rav Soloveitchik added on to this. He said over Bahar Chove, this whole Beis HaLevi that's printed by Riches in the end of the second volume of the Tshuvas. So the Rav Soloveitchik added on that perhaps that's the reason why you read the Seder HaVayda and Chumash, so it's out of order. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Kol HaMikru Kulav Kosav Al HaSeder Chutz Min HaPasuk HaZeh. There's one Pasuk vote. Hatzuas Kaf HaMachta didn't take place right after the Keturis Lifnai V'Lifnim. There was HaVayda B'Big Dei Zohav Mapsik, and then Hatzuas Kaf HaMachta later. So Rav Soloveitchik suggests that maybe the reason why the Pasuk writes it out of order is that on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is when the Lucha Shniyos, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Lucha Shniyos, Yom Kippur is the Yontav of the Torah Shebal Peh. So that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to demonstrate that if you're going to just follow Torah Shebal Peh, you're going to be doing it wrong. You won't be Yotze. Rav Elbele quoted his Melchamas. He thinks that you are Yotze if you do the way it says in the Chumash. You just don't have the added... You won't have the added kiyum of gemiri chatvilas vasar kiddushin, but it could be not like the Rabban. It could be that you wouldn't be yotze. So the pasuk is bedavke written out of order, in order that you should realize that without the Torah Shebal Peh, You just study Torah Shebichtav, you do everything wrong. One of the Rabbanim is telling us that as a child, he was touring with his parents in Eretz Yisrael. They went on a tour, and there were a group of Christians from Europe traveling with them. So every day, the religious Jews, they were all religious Jews and these Christians, every day the religious Jews had a minyan, Shachas, Mincha, Ma'ariv. And at the end of the 10-day tour, so one of the Christians went over to his father, and he asked them, they understand what davening is all about. The Sefer Torah, they knew what that was. The tefillin, they never saw that. They never saw tefillin before. They never understood what it was. So he asked them, do you have a copy of the Bible? So they brought him in English or whatever, a Bible in translation. I think they were from Holland. So this boy's father, during the war, was in Holland. So he said they had a copy of the Bible in a translation. So he was speaking to them. So he showed them the Parashat Tefillin and said, oh, that's what it is. If you don't have a Torah Shebaal Peh Tefillin, you don't know what the world is talking about. They said, oh, they always read that in the Bible. They never knew what in the world it was talking about. That's a lot of things like that. If you don't have a Torah Shebaal Peh, you don't understand Bechlal anything. Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe that's why the Pasuk B'davka is written out of order here. We recite, the Gemara says in Maseches Yoma, when the Chazan repeats the Shemana Esrei, you should recite the Seidu HaVoida in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. Our practice is we only say Seidu HaVoida by Musaf. In the Tshuvas HaGoyim they have, and in some communities the minig was that they said it Shachris Musaf and Mincha. They said it three times on Yom Kippur. Our minig is we only say by Musaf. So there are two nuschos with the Seidu HaVoida. There's Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfarad. And there are several differences between them. And the main two differences between Ashkenaz and Sfarad are, number one, when do you bring the Tamid Shel Bein Habayim? You go through the whole Mishnayos on Yom Kippur. There are a lot of this. There are three sets of Karbanos I brought. Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Bein Habayim from every day. The Musafim from Parshas Pinchas. And the Seidu HaVoida from Achrei Mois. So the Tanoim have all Machlokes. Tanoim who lived after the Churban Abayis. I'm trying to reconstruct what was the Seder. So they have all Machlokes in the Mishnayos and Yuma. Exactly how did you organize all of these Karbanos in the five units of HaVoida? So the Mishnayos spell out every single step of the way except for the Tamid Shel Bein Habayim. It doesn't say. So that's Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. Was the Tamid Shel Bein Habayim brought in the third unit? It's done in Big Day Zov, not in Big Day Lovin. Was it done in the third unit of Aveda or in the fifth unit of Aveda? So that's the one difference between Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad. Nusach Ashkenaz follows Rashi and Nusach Sfarad follows the Rambam. Shlomo LeVilna has in the Haoris in the back of the Vilna Shas, he was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. He corrected the galleys to make sure there are no mistakes. So he has Haoris in the end that are called Cheshek Shlaima. So he has a suggestion. Maybe they're both right. Maybe they're both right. Because the Mishnah, when did they do the Tamid Shel Bein Habayim? The third unit or the fifth unit? So he says, maybe they're both right. Sometimes the third unit, sometimes the fifth unit. The Mishnah says in Tamid Nishchat that every day the Tamid Shel Bein Habayim would be brought between 2:30 and 3:30 in the afternoon. Right smack in the middle of the afternoon. You have, if Chatzos is 12 o'clock, so till 2:30 is 2.5 hours. Then if Shki is 6 o'clock, so from 3:30 till 6, you have 2.5 hours. Takes approximately an hour for the Tamid Shel Bein Habayim. So the Mishnah says every day of the year, the Tamid Shel Bein Habayim is brought between 2:30 and 3:30. So he suggests, if the Kohen Gadol is a young man, Kohen Gadol starts doing the Avodah before the crack of dawn. So if he's a young guy and he's running, and he's going to finish everything before the bell strikes, they have a clock, and it's going to strike 2:30. So he's going to be holding in the fifth unit of Avodah when it's going to be 2:30. So then they'll bring the Tamid Shel Bein Habayim in the third Avodah. And if he's an old Kohen Gadol and it takes him a long time to do everything, he's walking slowly till he does this, till he does that. So the clock will strike 2:30 and he'll be in the middle of the third unit of Avodah. So he says, maybe the Mishnah doesn't say when they did the Tamid Shel Bein Habayim because it wasn't Kavua. You follow the Mishnah in Pesachim. It says 2:30. That's when you bring the Tamid Shel Bein Habayim. Sometimes it'll be the third Avodah. Sometimes it'll be the fifth unit of Avodah. So that's the one discrepancy. That's the one famous discrepancy between Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad. That Ashkenaz follows Rashi and the Sfarad follows the Rambam. When was the Talmud Shel Bein Abay? The other discrepancy is that the Mishnayos in Tamid, Maseches Tamid, describe the daily routine in the Beis HaMikdash, that every day they had four payasas, and every kohen would do, he would do mi shochet, mi mekabelas adam, mi melechas adam, mi zorekas adam, mi midashen zambech apnimi, who does this, who does that. So it says everybody did their job. Then it says hishtachva b'yotza. Whoever finished doing the avodah would do hishtachva, and then they would leave the azara. Why hishtachva b'yotza? So the Vilna Gaon says that this is based on the pasuk in Parshas Bikurim, that it says if they bring the Bikurim, v'hishtachaviyiso lefnei Hashem alokecho. So the Tanoim had a tradition that v'hishtachaviyiso is not a separate din in Hilchas Bikurim. It's not part of the Seder of Havas Bikurim. It's a universal din. Kol ha-nechnosim la-azara have to be mishtachve before they leave the azara. So whoever brings Bikurim has to come into the azara to recite the Arami Avod Avi. And whoever does any avodah, mi shoychet, mi mekabel ha-sadam, mi merlech ha-sadam, mi zarek ha-sadam, whoever does anything in the avodah has to be hishtachve v'yotza. So Nusach Ashkenaz, you read the Seder Avodah from the beginning to the end. And the Mishnayos never says the Kohen Gadol was mishtachve, he's in the Beis HaMikdash all day long. And it says that he leaves. It says that he leaves the Beis HaMikdash, and they walk with him, they baglate him, they accompany him as he's walking home. It never says that he does hishtachvot. Haloi dovahu, it's very strange. So in the Nusach Svar, Seder Avodah, it does say, at the end of the Yom, the end of the whole Seder Avodah is a Yom, before he leaves. It says he does hishtachvot, then he leaves. Similar to what it says in Mishnah's Talmud, that every kohen who does an Avodah does hishtachvot before he leaves. But in the Nusach Ashkenaz, it doesn't say. So that's a question, did they just omit it? Because the Maseches Yoma never says. Is it self-evident, like the Nusach Svard has self-evident, because that's the Mishnah Talmud? Or should you assume, no, so Rav Soloveitchik assumed that the Nusach Ashkenaz is based on the Mishnah's, the Kohen Gadol did not do Hishtachvo. So the Shabbat is, why not? So Rav Soloveitchik had a fantastic Chiddush. He thought that on Yom HaKippurim, not only is every Avodah part of the Seder Hayayim, walking from one spot to the other, Kohen Gadol has to go to the right, to the left, the front, the back, he has to walk. The walking is also part of the Seder Avodah Hayayim. So since the Torah describes every step that he takes, he has to go here, and he has to go there, and he has to do that, and it doesn't say in the Chumash Hishtachvo, so the Halacha says he's not permitted to do Hishtachvo. Because every step of the way has to conform to what he's supposed to do. All year long, there is no such Halacha, that when he goes in and when he goes out, all year long, the halacha, someone has to do shechita on the carpet. How do you get there? How do you get into the azara? You fly. You fly by helicopter. There's no halacha. On Yom Kippur, it's a din. He has to walk in the front door. He has to walk out normal. He has to walk in. He has to walk out. He has to walk from here. Every step of the way is part of the Seder Avodah. That was Rav Soloveitchik's chiddush. He brought a raya to his chiddush from a certain din, and then Rav Elbala Soloveitchik, I think it's the first letter in the end of the Chiddush Agriz al Rambam, so the first letter that they included there is a letter to Rav Soloveitchik where he disagrees with Rav Soloveitchik's raya to this point. Rav Elbala doesn't talk about this hishtachva, but he talks about Rav Soloveitchik's raya. So these are the two differences, the two discrepancies between the Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Svar. The pasuk said that the Kohen Gadol takes v'lokach midam ha-por midam ha-soyer. The hazoyer in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in front of the oroin, and the hazoyer in front of the paroiches, he did hazoyer from the dam ha-par separately and hazoyer from the dam ha-soyer separately. But the hazoyer on the mizbeach, we assume ma'arvin l'kronis, he mixed the dam together, machlekes hatanaim. So we assume you mix the dam together. All the tanaim had the machlekes lived after the Churban Abay, so they're all reconstructing what it was like. So we assume arvin lekronis. You mix the dam together, and then you do this week. So the pasuk reads, "V'lokach midam apar midam asor." He mix it together. He's on the four karnas hamizbeach apnimi, on the mizbeach akteris. All year long, you don't do any, only achas bashana. All year long, you're not supposed to be makar of anything else other than akteris. On the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Yom Kippur is the one exception to the rule. So the Gemara raises a question. The poor is a big fat animal. It's probably going to have much more dam than the sor. Sor is a skinny malink. So hadovi yodua shadama par meruba midama sor. And we have a din of bitul beroiv. So how is the kain gadol in fulfillment of the mitzvah being zorik the dam from the par and the sor together? The dam asor should be bottle beroiv, chad betrayed bottle. Should be bottle beroiv. You have 51% dam apor and only 49% dam asor. Should be bottle beroiv. So it comes out that you're only zorik the dam apor. The dam asor never had any zrika. The velt esta kasha. How did the Gemara know that hadovi yodua shadam apor meruba bedam asor? Meruba is if you hold the cup, the klisharis, under the neck of the par for the same amount of time that you hold it under the neck of the sor. Maybe you hold it under the neck of the par for half a second and under the neck of the sor for a whole second. So you have more dama sor than dama par. I don't think that. How did the Gemara know? Hadovi yadu shadama par meruba b'dama sor. I don't think that's a kasha. This Dachra and the Svarim talk about the kasha. I don't think that it's a kasha. Whichever way it's going to be the exact same kasha. There's one chance in 5 billion trillion zillion that it's going to be exactly 50-50. The likelihood is that it's not going to be exactly 50-50. Either it's going to be under normal conditions, hadovi yadu shadam apam meruba b'dama sor, if you hold the cup for the same amount of time. And if you rigged it otherwise, then it's going to be hadovi yadu shadam asor meruba b'dama sor, but it's never, ever, ever going to be one chance in 50 billion zillion years that it's going to be exactly 50-50. But the other billion years not going to be like that. So that's the Gemara's kasha. It's impossible that it should be machza machza. So whichever one is going to be, the rife should be mevatel, the one that's in the mir. So how are you yoytze the zrika? So that's what the Gemara says. Mikano am Rav Yudah that lach balach mim mimino ain't a bottle. When you have a tarubis a mim mimino lach balach, it's not bottle. Rashi paskins like Rav Yudah and Tosfos does not. Tosfos holds we don't pass like Rav Yudah. Pass like the Chachamim. The lach balach mim mimino is bottle. So what do you do with the pasuk? So the Gemara says no. Mikan lo oilin sheim mevatel zeze. Since there's no clash between the two, the Dama Par and the Dama Sar, they're both supposed to have Zrika on them is Beach. So the only time there's Bitlif, there's a clash. One is Heter, one is Issa. But if they're both Heter and they're both Mitzvah, they both are Mitzvah to be Zrika on them is Beach. So then, Mikan Le'oil and Shem of Atlan Zezeh. So that Posuk is, V'lokach Midama Par and Midama Sar, is not only discussed in Masechas Yuma, that Posuk is discussed in Chulin and in Menachas and other Masechtas, where they talk about it in Yeridah, where they talk about Bitl Beroiv. The very next parsha, right after the Avodas Yom Kippurim, is about Shochet Bachutz and about Mala Bachutz. There's an Issa chorus, that's the name of the last perik in Masech HaZvochen, perik HaShochet BaHamala. The one is Shochet Bachutz is Chayv chorus. So if you do B'Shogeg, you're Chayv Chatas. One is Mala Bachutz is Chayv chorus. Mala means you build a Mizbeach, Boma. And you makriv the chalovim, you burn the chalov on a boma, is bancha based on migdash kaim. So that's an isa mala bachutz. Also the chayv koris. The Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim. What if someone is both yechayv koris and a mele yechayv chatas if you do b'shoigeg? So there's a machlokes hatanoim. In the Mishnah, beginning of perek ha-shoichet ba'amale, what if a person takes a korban and he's shoichet then mala bachutz? So it should be chayv tu chator. So should I say no? Once he already did shchut echut, so the whole carpet is puzzle. So it's not roi lovoi el pesach ol moi. The pasuk says that the only time there's a chi of chorus of shoche bachutz, the only time there's a chi of chorus of makte bachutz, mala bachutz, is el pesach ol moi lo hevi, only if it's roi lovoi el pesach ol moi. So once he did the shchut echut, so the whole carpet is puzzle. So it's not an avera of mala bachutz. It would only be an avera if you shechted the carpet in the azara, then you take the chelev out, and you so that chelav was zaymed lahakter al gabi hamizbech. Then you take the chelav out and you burn it on a bomb outside of the Beis Hamikdash. But if you really did the shchut echutz, so the whole carbon is nifsol. So that's a machlokes zatanaim. Whether you'd be chayv kares for the halo abachutz, would you be chayv shtei chatos?
But once you take the chelav out of the Beis Hamikdash, isn't that also possible? It can no longer be brought
nifsol b'yotze. Yeah, but hachi chive rachmana. The Torah says there is a chi of kares. So that, you have to say, since it was nishchat in the Azara, and it was nifsal when you took it out, but it was aymed lahaktar in the Azara. But if you did the shchut bachutz, maybe that's worse. So that's, those are the two parshas right after. Right after Avodas Yom Kippurim, you have the din of shoch bachutz, mala bachutz. Then the pasuk speaks about the prohibition against eating dam, and it keeps on repeating the expression, Ki nefesh habasar badam hi. Few times the expression appears. Ki nefesh kol basar dam b'nafsho. Keeps on repeating a few times. Tosfos quotes this to explain the din in Masechta Shabbos, that in Masechta Ksubos, that there are 39 obvious malachas on Shabbos, and the Gemara says one is choiva, one who causes bleeding in an animal or in a human being on Shabbos, is that constitutes a malacha. So which malacha is it? So there are different opinions. So Rashi's opinion is that it's tzoveh. If you make a black and blue mark, so you did tzviya. And the Rambam says that it's a dosh, just like if you squeeze out fruits in order to get the juice out. So that's disha. So this is also disha, because the animal or the human being have a circulatory system. So if you kvetch, you squeeze out the dam from the circulatory system, from the body, that's disha. That's the Rambam sheet. And the accepted opinion is Tosfos, not like Rashi, not like the Rambam, because that's what it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that one who does chavala b'shabbos is in violation of the malacha of netilas neshama, shechet. It's one of the lamentes of his malachas, it's Ntilis Neshama. So Tay says, what kind of Ntilis Neshama? The animal is still alive. Ntilis Neshama means if you kill the animal, Asherchei. So Tay says, no, the Pasuk says, how many times, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh, Dam represents the life, the Dam circulation of the Dam is what keeps the animal and the people alive. So if you cause Hoitzoaz Dam, Malikot L'Kula, Malikot L'Palba. That's the expression that Tay quotes. People usually think that Tay is referring to that expression, Malikot Lukul, Malikot Lapalga, appears in the Gemara in Baba Kama, in Perek Merube, that they learn in the yeshivas, in the Litvish yeshivas, in connection with Dalet Vehei. Chamisha Bok Yisham Tachas Asha, Rabbitson Tachas Aseh, if Tavach HaMochar. So the Gemara says there about Malikot Lukul and Malikot Lapalga. So the truth of the matter, Tosfos is not referring to that Gemara. The Gemara has that expression, Malikot Lukamalik Maseches Nida, exactly on this. The Gemara talks about Dam Shanashama Yotzebo. So the Gemara says the expression there. So this is a very interesting pasuk that Tosfos picks up on. Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh, that this circulatory system is what keeps the animals alive. And the Pashtus is that if you want to determine when is a person alive or dead? It has to do with the circulation of the blood. Because when the blood is circulating, the animal is alive. When the blood circulation ends, then the animal is dead. That's the Pashtus in the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. It says that Abba Machteres, we have a right to treat him as a roidef, and Znita Natzila Ben Afsho, you're allowed to kill him. So the Pasuk says, Ein Loi Domim, Ibn Machteres, Batsa Ganav Hukav Ames, Ein Loi Domim, Im Zorcho Olav Hashemesh, Domim Lo. So what does it mean, Ein lo damim damim lo? So we usually translate by Boba Machteres, Ein lo damim, if you kill him, so you're not chayv misa. He's supposed to kill him and you're not chayv misa. Im zorcho alav ha-shemesh, if he's not a Boba Machteres, he's just a robber, and he's not boal iskin nefashis, then if you kill him, damim lo, you're chayv misa if you're killing him. So the Vilna Goyen, in Aderes Aliyo, the Talmid Hagra quoted the name of the Vilna Gaon. He didn't write it. The Talmidim wrote it over in his name. That he thought Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk is, I think the Ibn Ezra writes like this, some other Rishonim write, that the phrase Damim Lo Ein Lo Damim goes on the Baba Machteres. It says, Ima Machteres Imatza Ganav Vuhukav Ameis, we treat him as if he were dead already. We treat the Ganav as if he were a Gavra Ketila Ein Lo Damim. We treat him as if he does not have blood circulating in his system. One whose blood is not circulating is not a chai. So you killed a dead person. However, mizorcha alav ha-shemesh, domim lo, not your chai misa for having killed him. No, domim lo, we treat him as if he does have blood circulating in his system. That's the pashtut, the circulation of the blood is what keeps the person alive. That's where Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. They asked him in Hilchus before anybody knew anything about brain death, before the first brain death. He has a tshuva, someone had a stroke and the left side of his body is paralyzed. He wants to know, are you yotzei in the mitzvah of tefillin if you put the tefillin on a paralyzed arm? So he says yes, because he remembered that his father had a stroke. His father was a big Talmid Chacham, Rav Moshe's father, and he had a stroke a few months before he died, and he continued to put tefillin on the paralyzed arm. But then Rav Moshe said, so why is that so? So he said, because the blood is still circulating, so the arm is still alive. But if the blood would stop circulating in the arm, then he quotes a Gemara Mechoris, that's considered a dead aver. A dead animal is when there's no blood circulating the whole animal. A dead limb is when the limb doesn't have blood circulating. When there's no circulation of blood, that's called gangrene. So the limb will start to decay, just like after the body is dead and buried. So the limb will start to decay. So even while a person is still alive, the limb will decay when the blood is not circulating. So Moshe quotes a Gemara Mechoris, that that's the definition of life and death, whether the limb is alive or the limb is dead, depends whether there's blood circulating or not. So the Pashtus is, like the Vilna Gaon said, like the Tosfos said, that's what we accept based on the Yerushalmi. Ki Adam hu anefesh, that the circulation of the blood determines that the person is alive. And the Mishnah says, if a person is holding by the end, Gesisa is still alive, is not mitamei. Gesis kechai is not mitamei. But if Hutaz Rosha, if they chopped off his head, then even though he's jumping around a little bit, he's considered dead. Why is he considered dead? So the Pashtus is because the whole circulatory system has collapsed. Let's say you have a plumbing system that goes up to the top of the Empire State Building. How many floors are there? 98 floors, let's say. So the plumbing system goes up, the water goes up. Then on the 60th floor, somebody breaks the pipe that connects everything. So the plumbing system is broken. Even if the water is still going to go for another couple of seconds, but the whole plumbing system is broken. It's not going to function. So over here, if the circulatory system is broken because you chopped off the neck, chopped off the head, Hutaz Rosho, so that's considered the blood is no longer circulating. It's going to take a couple of seconds till he actually drops dead, the body's still going to be jumping around. But the circulatory system has collapsed already. So that's what the Mishnah is saying, that he's considered dead. Is Mitame ready now?
How does Rebbe know that we pass on like Tosas in regards to the question of Bech Shabbos, what Melechon's over in there?
The Achrenim assume like that. Because the Yerushalmi supports the Tosas. Yerushalmi says Beferish.
What's the Nafkamina of the...
Tzricha Legufa, they have Nafkaminas. How do you determine whether it's Tzricha Legufa or not? Yeah.
So in the brain dead person, there must be some blood that goes there.
Well, the blood is going to the other organs. There's insufficient blood going to the brain.
Insufficient.
So you may declare that the brain is dead. You may or may not declare that the brain is dead because part of the brain is still functioning. Part of the brain is not functioning, part of the brain is functioning.
So, you know,
but the other vital organs are still functioning. So we assume if one vital organ is dead, we don't assume that the person is dead already. Trefa, okay, could be. That's a shale. Is he a gosis? Could be. Is a gosis? Yeah. One by walking in there.
Rabbi, if the head is cut off, Rabbi Teller points out that if the respiratory system is also not functioning. So what's the difference in going by the circulatory system as opposed to going by the respiratory system, which is controlled by the brain stem?
No, circulatory system. That's what it says in Chumash. That I'll be din. Life is determined by circulation of blood. So you say if the stem of the brain is dead, so the lungs are not going to work. Okay, so the lungs are a vital organ. But you have to have all the vital organs have to be dead in order to be considered dead. It's not sufficient if one or two of them are dead. If a person is missing fingers or legs or ears or eyes, he's still alive. These are not vital organs. The halacha distinguishes them. They're different gemaras, kiddushin. And in Tamura and other Masechtas, about Eva Shanasham Kleipo and Eva Shein Anasham Kleipo, Mishnah Nazir, other Mishnah is like that. So the Halacha talks about vital organs. So one vital organ is dead, apparently. We don't assume that there are people walking around whose liver is dead. Rabbi Tenda says a person could be dancing at a wedding and his liver is dead. Well, he can attend the wedding, he won't be able to dance at the wedding. Sometimes you have a grandfather, great-grandfather comes to a wedding, his liver is dead and he's going to die within the next couple of days, and he comes to the wedding. So if you say that one vital organ is dead, the person is dead, so such a person should be considered dead. He's walking around bekoshi. So that's hard to imagine like that. So why should you distinguish between the brain and the lungs as opposed to the liver? The liver is a vital organ. The Mishnah lists off liver. COVID is considered one of the vital organs. So you see that one vital organ is dead, we don't assume the person is dead. So either you need rive of the vital organ should be dead, or you need all of the vital organs should be dead. So we don't have any sources in the Gemara. But you can't say it only depends on the brain and the lungs. Why should it depend on the brain and the lungs?
Because
Then the Torah formulates the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. Kisui Hadam only, the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam only applies Ashiyotzet, say Chaya or Oaf. When you shech behemah, there's no mitzvah of Kisui Hadam, only Chaya or Oaf. So we have to know the difference between a behemah and a Chaya. Al Pidin, there are several differences. The Gemara talks about what's the din if you have a hybrid. You're not allowed to breed this. Let's say a behemah and a Chaya are mated together. That's an Issa of Kloy behemah. Are made together, behemah and a Chaya, and they have a Vlad, so it's half behemah, half Chaya. So the Gemara has a whole machlokes, but the choshishim lezera ha'av, or ain't choshishim lezera ha'av. By us, let's say a Kohen marries a Yisraelis, or a Kohenis marries a Levi. So the lemishpachosim lebeis avosim, the status of the children is determined by the father. Unless there's an intermarriage, and one is Jewish, one is not Jewish, then it's a different opinions in the Tanoim. Akamah babai saw Vlad mamza, Vlad whatever, and we paskin avlad kosher, we paskin all depends on the mother. So we have rules and regulations. When you have a mixed marriage by human beings, how do you determine the status of the child? What do you do if you have a mixed marriage by behemoths? So the mother is kaveh, that's for sure. The machlokes hatanaim, whether choshishim lezera ha'av in addition to the zera ha'aim, does the father have input or no? The DNA is for sure going to be a blend of both. Biologically, it's going to be a blend of both. But halach, it's a machlokes. So if one parent is a behem and one parent is a chayah, do you say the mother wins? Whatever the mother is, that's what the vlad is. Or you say the vlad is a chatzi behem, a chatzi chayah. So that's a sveka dina, how we pass on the shulchan aruch. But the choshishim lezera ha'av. So this is relevant for several halachas. The dina voisav yezbeno only applies to behem, does not apply to chayah. The dina kisei adam only applies to chayah, does not apply to behem. Chalev is only also by behem. Chalev abechai is heter gomer. The exact same chalev, tastes exactly the same. If it's a behema, then it's koris, and if it's a chay, then it's mutter. And the same thing, the mitzvah to give when you shech the behemas chulin is a mitzvah to give zroa lachayayim v'hakeva to the koyin. So the Gemara says that mitzvah only applies that perak azroa lachayayim v'hakeva, the end of towards the end of chulin perak azroya. So that mitzvah only applies if you shech the behemah. If you shech the chaya, you don't have that. So what if you shech an animal that's a half chaya, half behemah? Mar says you give half matana. So it's negeh l'alocha for several areas. Negeh to the din of osev ezbeno, the negeh to the din of kisi adam, to zvalach hayayim hakeva, and the chaylev, to determine whether any given animal is a behemah or a chaya. The shach writes in Yerideya, how do you determine whether any? How do you know whether any given animal is behemah or a chaya? So the Gemara is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. You have to study the horns, the shape of the horns. It's a complicated story. So the Shach says our minig is that we only eat if we have a masorah. So we're not so medayik about this, about the shape of the horns. We'll only eat it if we have a masorah. We'll only eat what if you have a masorah. So the Pashup Shat and the Shach is you only eat chaylev if you have a masaira, that this is a chaya. If you don't have a masaira, and if any animal is malager, mafis parsa, you can eat it. You don't need a you do not require a masaira to be able to determine that any given animal is a kosher animal. Just like you don't need a masaira for fish. Any fish that has a snap of a kaskesis is kosher. Doesn't matter the shape of the kaskesis or the thickness or how sturdy it is. Any fish that has, there are tens of thousands of fish in the world, always you can't have a masara on fish. So they quote the tshuva of the son of the Rosh, that he says, you don't need a masara on fish. Any fish that has snap of a kaskes and muta. So most of the poskim assume the shach only meant we only eat chaylev of a given animal if we have a masara that this animal is a chaya. If you don't have a masara, we don't rely on our own inspection of the shape of the horns to determine that this animal is a chayyur, you're allowed to eat the chaylev. That's the simple reading of the shach. And then the Chochma Sodom lived in Vilna. The shach lived in Vilna before the Chmelnytsky riots in Tach V'Tat in 1648-1649. So originally he lived in Vilna, and he's claiming that the minig is like that. So the Chayyadam was a dying in Vilna. A century later, in the late 1700s. He lived the late 1600s. He lived this late 1700s. So he, the Chayyadim, claims, based on the Shach, you don't eat any animal based on snapir, based on malagera, mafis parasa, unless you have a masar that it's kosher. So many dispute that. They say that's not what the Shach said. But that was a big dispute in Eretz Yisrael. In the early years after Hakamas HaMedina, so they wanted to introduce the zebu animal for milking purposes. The zebu is like a cow, but it has a hump on its back like a camel. It doesn't look like a cow. It gives off milk. So the zebu has a unique feature. It has a mila like a camel. It doesn't have to drink so much water. So that's very crucial in that part of the world, in the Middle East, where it's so warm. So the animals keep on drinking water all day long. So the zebu has a mila like a camel. It doesn't have to drink so much water. And it's malager mafis parsa. So it's a kosher animal. So Rav Herzog was the chief rabbi at that time. So they asked him, are they allowed to milk the zebu? So he said, yeah. They checked it, and they said it's malager mafis parsa. So the Chazon Ish made a whole tumult at that time. He corresponded with Rav Herzog, and they printed all of the letters that he said that for the Litvakis, the people who live in Eretz Yisrael came from Lithuania, they follow the Chayyadim, the Chachmas Adam, like the Bible. To them, the Chachmas Adam is the Bible. And the Chachmas Adam writes that was the minig in Vilna. That even though the Prima Gordim, all the others say that that's not pshat. And the Shach says you don't eat the chelav of any given animal unless you have a masor that it's a chaya. You don't rely on your own inspection of the shape of the horns. But since the Chachmas Adam lived in Vilna, he says that's the minig based on this Shach. You don't need an animal, period, unless you have a masar that it's a kosher animal. You don't rely on the malager mafis pas because he may be making a mistake. So that's what the Chazon Ish prevailed. You have to have a masar. So then Rav Herzog investigated, and he says, we do have a masar. There are religious Jews who came from India, and they say for many, many years, for centuries, they used to eat the zebu in India. So the Chazon Ish wrote back, no, a masar has to be with prominent Talmid Chachamim. The Jews in India, some of them were observant, but they didn't have any Talmid Chacham. So Rav Herzog gave in, so the Taka did not introduce the zebu flesh in Eretz Yisrael until many years later. Because what happened was that people were hybriding the cows and the zebu. It's a Nisar in the Torah. It's even a Nisar for Bnei Noach. We assume it's not from the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, but over and above the Sheva Mitzvahs, Azarosam Zui Misosam, the Chayv Nisar, if they violate them. Then in addition to those Sheva Mitzvahs, the Gemara says, based on the Gemara Sanhedrin says, in the Sugya Bnei Noach, and after Ches, and Tes, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from today's Sedra, as Chukasai Tishmor Behem Tocholos Abiy Akalayim. So the Gemara says, Chukasai Chukim Shechachakti Lechokvar, the dinim that I gave to Adam and Rishon, and Sheshes Mei Bereshes, I'm telling you again, repeating. So the Gemara has a Machlokes Hatanoim, and the Rambam, and the Shach, and the Yerudea quote, that we accept this opinion that there are additional prohibitions over and above the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, that the Bnei Noach HaMuzer, and one is Sirus, they're not allowed to castrate any animal. The Gemara says you're not allowed to bring your dog to a non-Jewish veterinarian. A Jewish veterinarian for sure is not allowed to, and even a non-Jewish veterinarian is not allowed to. And if you brought it to them to be Masaris, there's a penalty, you have to get rid of the dog. The Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Tzadik like that. So the Gemara says Sirus is one of the prohibitions in Harkovas, Ilonis, and Harboaz Behemoth, to breed one animal with another Zanisa. But Lamaisa, the Goyim do it. So they were breeding zebu with cows, and they figured out exactly the best formula to get. You have the milus of both, because the milk from the cow tastes better than the milk from the zebu. They kept on experimenting until they figured out if it's 5/8 one and 3/8 the other one, I forgot which way it is, so then you have the best of both worlds. The milk tastes like the milk of the cow, and it's just like a camel that it doesn't need to drink so much water as the both milas. So once they realize that they can breed them together and they can be moilid, so the Gemara says in the first Perek in Mechoiris that we have a tradition in biology that a behemoth Torah and behemoth Tmeh cannot give birth to a vlad. If you hybrid them together, they won't give birth to a vlad. So here they were breeding them together, and they do give birth to a vlad. So the fact we have a masar on the cow, that the cow was kosher, so the masar carries over to the zebu. If it would be behemoth mare, behemoth mare cannot be misaber, so behemoth mare. So that's why for many years in South America, in Eretz Yisrael, for many years they didn't do shechita. I don't know exactly what they do now. They used to import the meat from America. They used to import the meat from South America. Rabbi Neuwirth from the Shemir Shabbos Kolchos used to go a lot to South America to supervise the shechita. So a lot of times they would shecht zibu. The shochtim wouldn't be careful. They would see it looks like a cow, either a cow or a zibu. They don't always have to check that it has. They don't check to see if it has a flat back or a humpy back. They shecht a lot of times the zibu flesh, and they were selling this flesh in Eretz Yisrael. And they were using the hides to make sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzahs from them. You cannot use or behemoth tamei to write sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzah. So that was already accepted. In the beginning, in the early years, after Hakamas HaMedina, that was the big issue. The Chazon Ish was tumbling with Rav Herzog. But it turned out that it is a kosher animal. We don't have a masara and a zebu, but we have a masara and a cow. Masara and a cow carries over to the zebu, so now it's accepted all over. Everybody uses all the hides from South America, even if they're from zebu, and we assume all the tefillin are kosher, we assume all the flesh is kosher. A couple of years ago, less than 10 years ago, maybe 7-8 years ago, there was a whole hullabaloo at Bnei Brak. The people had prepared their cholent for Shabbos, and then the rabbanim said, no one should eat the cholent that's from the zebu flesh, that the butcher was selling zebu flesh. And they started to tumble, and then it all died down after 2 weeks, because it was explained to the tumblers that the two can breed. In the days of the Chazon Ish, it wasn't yet known that they can breed together. But by now, we see that they breed them together, and they have 5 eighths and the 3 eighths. Obviously, they're moiled together. And if you're going to say that you can't eat the flesh, everybody's still an apostle. So that was the end of the whole discussion. So now they don't tumble anymore. Then the pasuk has the mechudesh digadin of nivla seiftoha mitami abeis ablia. Again, if you look in the translation of the Bible, no one in the world would know what the pasuk means. Kol nevesh ashtech nevela trefe be'ezach. It means if he becomes tummy, he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he's chayv koris, entering the Beis HaMikdash betumah. And what did he do? A treifa is not metame. It means if he swallow nevela of an oif tohor that has treifa, if he swallow nivlas oif tomei, it's not metame beis habliya. If he swallow nivlas oif tohor, which sometimes has treifa, so then it's metame beis habliya. Without a Torah Shemal Pet tradition, you won't understand one word in this pasuk. That's in chapter Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tezvav. Rashi quotes the whole story. So this is a famous discussion. Rab Chaim has two-thirds of the discussion. Rab Yosef Engel has the whole discussion. What's the Geder Hadin that Nivla Saif Tohem is Metame Abeis Abli? It's a Yotzim and Aklal. Usually it's Maga Beis Astorim. So Maga Beis Astorim is not Metame. When you touch the Nivla Saif Tohem, it's not Metame. When you put it in your mouth, it's not Metame. Only when you swallow it, it's metame. So that when you swallow it, the beis ablia is beis astorim, so it should be dafke, not be metame. So one way to explain this is akzeris akosu, achidush ayotz min aklal, that maga beis astorim, only maga beis astorim is metame. Or should I say no? It's not a din of maga, it's a din of achila. It's a din of achila. The achilas, nivla saif tohor, is metame. What's the difference? Rab Chaim points out there's a machloikus between the Bavli and the Sifro. That's what he has a short piece in the Sefer Al Rambam. What if you had a chatzi zayis and you paused, then you had swallowed another chatzi zayis, toch kedei achilas pras? So whatever you eat, toch kedei achilas pras, is mitzar for the purpose of achila. But if it's a tumas achila, so it'll be mitzar, it'll be metame. But if it's a din of maga beis astorim, so if you have the maga in two different times. You have a maga of a chatzis shir now, then you pause, and then you have a maga of a chatzis shir a moment later, and then that mitzvah from Yachad, it wouldn't be metame. So that's what Rab Chaim has in his sefer. He claims it's a machlekes satanoim. What's the geder hadin of nivla seif tor metame abeis habli? Is it a geder hadin of tumas achila or tumas maga? Rabbi Yosef Engel, in Asvan Deraisa, in one of the essays, quotes a Taisus. In the end of the first perik in Sanhedrin, has a third sad that it's masa beis astorim. What's the difference whether maga beis astorim or maga beis astorim? If it's maga or masa, it has to be bevasachas. You wouldn't be mitzarv tok de achilas pras. Difference is, what if you wrapped it up korcha besiv? What if you wrapped up the nivla saif tohar, and then you swallow it. So there is no maga. It's not touching the throat, but it's masa. So Tosis writes that it's masa, a chiddush. Tosis at the end of her, apropos to nothing on the daf. It's not, they don't have any rife in the Gemara. They're just describing that it's masa beis astar. So that's famous, the two or three possibilities how to understand the nature of the din of Nivla Seftor. It's a big chiddush din. Then the parsha ends off with the Gili Arayis, with the Yisuri Chorus, and then in Kedoshim everything is repeated to tell you which one of them are Chayiv Misa, and the Tosis on the first Daf and Yavam is on Beis Amud Aleph, quoted from the Yerushalmi, that there are three of them in Kedoshim who are repeated where there's no Chayiv Misa. So why are they repeated? It says in the end of Achrei Mos, Kol HaShiyasim, Kol HaTayv Yisraele, V'nichrusu HaNefash HaSosim, Mekerev Amam. It says that this Chorus on all of them, so it only makes sense to repeat in Parshas Kedoshim, those that have something over and above Koris, that have Misa. But there are three Arayis that are repeated that only have Koris. So the Gemara, the Babli, only talks about one of them. Lomi Yotzes Koris Bachoisoi. Why is Koris repeated by Achoisoi? That's the Gemara in third Perek in Makkah. So Machlokes Atanoim, why is Achoisoi repeated? But the Tosis on the first half in Yavam is based on Menachos. Coast Yerushalmi discusses the other two also. Why were the other two Arayis repeated? The way the Pasuk is written, you have to have a tradition of a Torah Shebal Peh over here. The way the Pasuk is written, I remember when my father-in-law, Zechon Lebracha, was on his deathbed in the hospital, so the doctor came to check him. So the patients are not fully clothed when you're dying. So I remember the doctor, I was in the room, so the doctor said, he has to treat the patient. He said, who are you? So I said, I'm a son-in-law. Who are you? He's a son. You have to leave. The daughters have to leave. Son-in-law can stay. So he asked him afterwards, why? So he said, it's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, Eves Avich Olai Segal. You're not allowed to be in the room when you uncover the body of the father. That's not what it means. Eves Avich Olai Segal goes on a Maisa's Nus. Either Avicha Avicha Mamish or Eres Avicha Zeshes Avicha. Tosis in Yavam is quoted on Daf Chafei. Machloke Satanaim, how do you understand Eres Avicha Lo Isagala? Well, it goes on Mishkav Zocha Shel Avicha, it goes on Eshes Avicha. But it doesn't mean Eres Avicha Lo Isagala. It doesn't mean another. It's a violation of Kibbut Av. Okay, but it's not Pshat in the Pasuk. It's not the correct Pshat in the Pasuk. When it first started with artificial insemination, so there was a whole tumult. So some rabbanim thought artificial insemination by an eshes sif should be an isa deraisa, because that's the way the pasuk reads. All the other araisas lo segale ervasa lo segale ervasa, that means gil araisa. It means maisas nus maisa bia. By eshes sif it says ve'al eshes hamischa lo siten shechav tochol lezara l'tamavo. Doesn't say lo segale ervasa. So they wanted to say that to donate zera, to inseminate an eshes sif should be an isa derais. So then the rabbanim thought that was a big joke. They said, we don't have the right to darshan psukim on our own, and it's not that explicit that you don't have to darshan. This is also a drosha, to say that eshes sif is also l'sitin shchav t'chol l'zara l'tamavo. So we assume that, Ramesha assumed that artificial insemination, even to an eshes sif, is not included in the isa. It's not included in the pasuk. You have the pasuk, you're not allowed to marry. We learned in Yavam, Isha l'chosa l'sikach. Two brothers married to four brothers. Two married to two sisters and two died as Abrahim. So there's an Isar achos ishtoi. An Isar achos ishtoi b'chayah. Litzor alea b'chayah. So that's how we read the pasuk. Isha l'chosa l'sikach achos ishtoi. The Karoim interpreted that you're not allowed to practice bigamy. Isha l'chosa means you're not allowed to marry two wives. Doesn't mean her sister. You're not allowed to marry two wives. Like it says by the Yerios. It says you should sow the Yerios Isha l'chosa, I think. The Yerios should be Isha l'chosa. It doesn't mean a sister. It means the matching Yerios. Here also they said a matching wife. You're not allowed to marry two wives. We don't accept that. We say there's a Chem d'Rabbein Gershom. You're not allowed to marry two wives. But that's not Pshat in the Pasuk. The Karaim had their own translation on Kol HaTarkula. The whole religion was different. Everything was different. The Karaim lasted till the Nazis killed them. There was a city that was in Lithuania. There was one city that was inhabited by Karaim, and the Nazis did not kill him because they said, we're not descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're converts, and we're Karaim. So the Nazis didn't kill him. They only wanted to kill the Jews who were descendants from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Troka, I think. Troka was a city that was known to have a Karoi community. So they were saved. The Nazis didn't
some
kill them.
Some Karoi claimed that they were from Avraham, Yitzchak, and some weren't?
I don't know. But in the city Troka, I don't know. But in the city Troka, they say that they were saved because that's the bill of goods that they sold the Nazi general. That they're Jewish, they observe the religion, but they're not descendants from that nationality, so they didn't kill them. Now in Eretz Yisrael, they have a lot of trouble from all the Karaim. They have Karaim from Europe, from Asia, from Africa. Each one has different shtick. And Tzad HaShavet, that is not in accordance with the Torah Shebaal Peh. At the end of the Parsha, the Ramban points out, very strange, he says, you should not violate these laws of Gili Arayis and Mishkav Behema, Mishkav Zohar, all of these aberrations. V'losoki eschem ha'aretz. Eretz Yisrael shouldn't vomit you out. What does this have to do with Eretz Yisrael? You're not allowed to. These are choyves aguf. Mitzvahs hatliyas baretz, agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. These are not agricultural mitzvahs. These are choyves aguf that apply all over in the world. So the whole world should spit you out. Why is only Eretz Yisrael? So the Ramban has his famous essay here, and he has it in a few places on Chumash. He discusses Hakan Yaakov Avinu, if the Chazal had a tradition, Kima Avam Avinu Kala Targula. Actually, Nitno, so how come Yankel Avinu married two sisters? So he gives a suggestion that it was a chutzlord that he married them. It only made sense for the Obis to volunteer Kol HaTarakula and Eretz Yisrael. Chutzlords not. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah at HaSinai, then he told us the Chayvus HaGuf are obligatory all over the world, but Koyde Matan Torah to volunteer on your own, as an Enem Mitzvah V'yah, said that only makes sense in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Ramban writes over here. The Ikam Mokam for Shmiras Kala Mitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. And even these mitzvahs that are Choybis Aguf, Gili Arayis, and Mishkab Zach, and Mishkab Behema, the Ikam Mokam for everything is really in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, when it comes to Sukkahs, we understand that. We sit in the Sukkahs in Eretz Yisrael, it makes sense. Sit in the Sukkahs in America, it's always bad weather.
So what does that have to do with Leisach? What does that have to do with
He says the Ikam Makom of Shmir is Kol HaMitzvahs is Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael.
It doesn't have to do with Zri. Is that what the Rebbe is saying? That before the Rebbe asked the question, that
it's not an agricultural din, right?
So how does that answer?
So he says all the mitzvahs, Shabbos and Kashrus, Taras, everything. The main place for observance is really in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what the Ramban has a comment on the Sifrei, on the pasuk that we say in Kriyat Shema. It says we will. Shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah. We'll be sent into Golus. Even when we're sent into Golus, we should still continue to observe Tefillin and Mezuzah. So Rashi quotes from the Sifrei that we should still continue to observe Tefillin and Mezuzah and Chutz Lord so that when we will come back to Eretz Yisrael, we won't be startled, we won't be surprised, we'll be used to this. As if we should do Tefillin and Mezuzah and Chutz Lord to practice so that when we get back to Eretz Yisrael, we'll be able to fulfill it properly. We shouldn't forget. What do you mean? So Ramban asks, but Tefillin and Mezuzah is a Chayv HaSaguf, Yemuchayv and Chutz Lord to the same degree as Yemuchayv in Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi quotes the Sifrei, quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya, I think, Hatzivi loch tziyunim. You should make a zecher to the mitzvahs by observing the mitzvahs and chutz lords, so that when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, there shouldn't be chadoshim be'enechem. What do you mean? Tefillin mezuzah says chayves aguf. So the Ramban says, yeah, but the ikam makom for tefillin mezuzah is also only Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the melech in Eretz Yisrael, and that's the ikam makom for shmiras kol mitzvahs. That's how the Zohar comments on the pasuk Ashrei Cheretz Shemalkech Ben Korim. It's the praises of Eretz Yisrael. Ashrei Cheretz, the praises of Eretz Yisrael. Shemalkech Ben Korim, the king of Eretz Yisrael, is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He's the one who gives Cheretz to people.
We don't practice the country and stuff in
Kutzlar,
so we should know
that you're not allowed to. That's Shchut Echutz. You can't. It's a good question, but that the Parsha says that Shchut Echutz, you're not allowed to. And Yom Kippur in the afternoon, we learn Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha. And Yontif, we don't learn Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha. On Shabbos, we learn, and on Tanis Sibu, we learn to Mincha. So that's Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva where he discusses a shaila. Is the Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha and Yom Kippur the Torah's Tanis Tzibur? It's the only one who's fasting should get an aliyah. Or is it B'Torah Shabbos? Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. So Shabbos to Mincha Yelein. So Yom Kippur to Mincha Yelein also. So let's say there's a person who's a chayla mesukan, and the doctor says he has to eat on Yom Kippur. But he's observing Yom Kippur to the extent that he's obligated to observe. So can he get an aliyah to Mincha on that? If the Kriyas HaTorah is B'Torah's Tainas Tzibur, that's not right. You shouldn't give him an aliyah. It's not fasting. But if it's B'Torah's Shabbos, so then he is observing to the best of his ability. So he should be able to get the aliyah. So that's where Rabbi Kivega has a discussion. The Macheshes is a tshuva sefer that was written by Rabbi Henoch Egish, who was a dayan in Vilna, the same time as Rabbi Chaim Moshe. He was older than Rabbi Chaim Moshe, but he outlived him. He delivered a hesped when Rabbi Chaim Moshe passed away. And he writes in his sefer, he's from the old Derech HaLimud. He doesn't go for this new style, the Derech HaLimud, Rabbi Chaim's Derech HaLimud of analysis. He said, I learned by the Beis HaLevi, the old Derech. But he has a lot of analytic tshuvas also. A lot of the, half of the tshuvas are the old style, half of the tshuvas are the new style. So he has a tshuva about this topic, about Rabbi Kivega's tshuva, one who had to eat on Yom Kippur, may he get an aliyah or not. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying this over. He heard it from Rabbi Henoch Egish in person. He didn't see it in the Sefer. He heard it from him in person, because Rav Soloveitchik, when he was studying in the University of Berlin, used to visit Vilna every so often to talk and learning with Rav Chaim Moshe, and he used to speak with Rav Henoch Egish. Rav Henoch Egish says, there's a machlekes harishonim, and a machlekes the mechaben ramo. When you get maftir on a tainis tibur, you end off magen David. The last bracha you say magen David. When you get maftir on Yom Kippur in the morning, you say the next bracha also. Kadosh Yisrael v'Yom HaKippurim. What about the one who gets maftir by mincha? Does he end off magen David like a tainis tibur, or does he add the last bracha? That's a machlekes of Rishonim, and that's a machlekes the Mechaben Ramos. So he says, that's the machlekes. If you all yend off Magen David, so he's saying that the Kriyas HaTorah is B'Torah's Tainas Tzibur. If you end off with Mekadesh Yisrael Yom HaKippurim, so he's saying that it's a Kriya B'Torah Shabbos. So Rav Soloveitchik had an interesting comment. Tosfos and Megillah discusses why do we lain the Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha in the afternoon is Parshas Arayas. Ish ishal kol sher b'sar l'sik v'legal z'ever. What's the Shaychas? Why do we lain Parshas Arayas? An etayne sibur to Mincha on Shabbos afternoon you lain next week's Parshas HaShavua. An etayne sibur you lain by Chal. Because it has the Yud Gimel Midas Hashem Hashem Kal Racham Echanun, and the Chanzal said, Vayav Hashem Alpana Vayikra, Malamish and Satav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Keshliach Tzibur Vamadol Moshe Kol Zman Shabon Echoit Miyasu Lefon Kisei Dehazeh Vani Moichel Lehem. The Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Jews want to do tshuva, do like this, recite Yud Gimel Midas. So we recite Yud Gimel Midas. We want to do tshuva, we want to get a kapor. Why do we, so that's why you lain Baichal on a tainis Sibit Mincha. Why do we lain Arayis on Yom Kippur? So Tosfos has one suggestion, because they used to make a lot of shidduchim on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur and Chamishos above, the Mishnah in the end of Tainus, those were the 2 days in the year, the two jolliest days of the calendar, when they used to make a lot of shidduchim. So you want to announce and make sure you don't marry a girl who's asur. That's one suggestion. And Tosfos has another suggestion. We call out to the Baruch Shalom, you told us not to be Megala Erevo, so you should also not be Megala our Erevo. You shouldn't expose our Averis, cover up on our Averis. Be Mechalos our Averis. That's the two suggestions that Tosfos has. So Rav Soloveitchik had a third suggestion. He said, maybe since on Yom Kippur, in the morning we lay in the beginning of Achrei Mois, so, and maybe the Kriya, his practice was, he always used to follow the Menhagim from Valojin. Valojin, they always followed the Menhagim of the Goyim. So the Mechaber holds that by Mafte, by Minchan, Yom Kippur, you do say the last part, Allah Torah Balabad of Al Yom Kippur Mazed. Ramos says we don't. Rav Soloveitchik's meaning was that he did say. He followed the meaning of Balojan from the Vilna Gaon. So he said, according to his meaning, you're laning B'Torah Shabbos, not B'Torah Tainas Tzibur. So on Shabbos, that's the halacha. Makom Shemav Sik in Shachris, that's where you pick up the Mincha. So he said, it's not exactly Makom Shemav Sik, and you skip a whole chapter over there. Because in Shachris, you're laying chapter Tezayin. And then you skip Yud Zayin and you learn chapter Yud Ches. So he thought, maybe that's the reason why he learned the end of Achimot. Mokam Shema, Psik and Shachris, Shom Karim B'mincha. That's not exactly.
And
Tanya Sibri Haftorah
and Shabbos, you don't have Haftorah.
Yeah, the Gemara records in Bamei Madlik and Daran on Shabbos, they used to say Haftorah. They used to say a Haftorah from Tehillim. That's what the Rabbein Tanya. The Mishnah says, Ey Maftirim Benavi. The Mishnah Megillah says, Ey Maftirim Benavi. By Shabbos, the Mincha says, yeah, you're not Maftirim Benavi. But the Gemara says, Maftirim Beksuvim. You lay in a Haftorah from Ksuvim. Somehow it got lost. We don't do it, Bizman Hazeh, but Bizman Gemara, that's what it says. He used to recite a Haftarah from the Novi, from Ksuvin.
Yonah's Novi, so.
Yeah.
Shabbos is Novi.
So yeah. Should be a Rai that it's, yeah. Because Rav Soloveitchik had a time, he said his meaning is like the Goyen, that it's before a Shabbos, that is Allah Torah Bala Voida. But he said, from the fact that you picked Yonah, that's about Tshuva. So it's not a dead giveaway that it's Petorah's Tainus Tibur, not Petorah's Shabbos. But not from the content of the Haftarah.
So why do those people lay in?
Akasha, he used to say that they're two minhagim. They're clearly two minhagim. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in the morning when the Balkori lanes, so he lanes with an eerie niggin, a different niggin all year long. And the one who gets an aliyah says a different thing. And they're two minhagim by mincha on Yom Kippur, with Elaine with the normal kriyas haTorah nigan and the normal Bachur Hashem hamavirach, or Elaine with the eerie nigan. So he thought that that's the shaila. The two opinions in Rabbi Kivega's Juvan, the two opinions in the Rishonim, whether the kriya, if the kriya is b'toras tainus tzibur. So it's like all year long, if the kriya is b'toras Yom Kippur, b'toras Shabbos Shabbos, and then the minig should be that you have the special nigan. He said, "This would be a steer if the balkor is going to lane normal niggin, and the guy who oil la Torah is going to say the eerie niggin. So that's a tart to the sasser min eivay. So that they should make up in advance. Either they're going to lane yom and aroyim niggin, or they're going to lane all year long niggin." Beginning of Parshas Kedoshim was discussed a lot last night for an hour and a half. You have so many dinim in the parsha. This year we spent a little time, we discussed Hashem Shivcha Harufa. Usually the din is Hishva Kosav Ishaliyish, whatever punishment the man gets, the woman gets. Here it's an exception to the rule, that's how the Mishnah points out. The woman is Chayv Malkus, and the boyal Shivcha Harufa is Chayv Hashem Shivcha Harufa. The Mishnah says, Beim Shogig Beim Emezit, doesn't make a difference. There's a Mishnah in Krisis that lists off Elam Aviyam Alamezit Kishkoga. Usually you only bring a carbon if you do an Aver B'Shoigeg. And there were certain cases, Shivcha Harufa, Hashem Shivcha Harufa is one of them, that the boil Shivcha Harufa brings the Osham Beim Meshoigeg Beim Emezit. What about the Isha that she gets Malkus? You're going to say that's also Beim Meshoigeg Beim Emezit. The Pashta is certainly not. You don't give Malkus unless you gave Asrot. Has to be bemezid. So there's a very mechudish dikka pirish hamishnais la harambam on the opening mishnah masecha Shabbos. That's not where it belongs. Should have been in the middle of Krisis when the mishnais talk about Hashem Shivcha Harufa. So the Rambam has on the opening mishnah masecha Shabbos, he writes this strange statement which he does not record in the Mishnah Torah at all. But in the pirish hamishnais he writes that the woman gets malchus be mishaygig be bemezid, because the mishnah says there's no difference. Everybody always learns no difference. The boil is chayv oshem bei mishaygig bei mezit, but the isha, the shivcha haruf is only chayv malkus if it's bei mezit, not if it's mishaygig. How do you know that she's chayev as malkus? Because the pasuk says, bikoris tihya. What is the word bikoris tihya? What does it mean bikoris? So the Gemara has an interpretation, bikroi tehei. We should recite the psukim. Who's reciting what psukim? The Gemara in the Mishnah says in Malkus that when they gave Malkus to a person, as Chayv Malkus, the Bezna would say, they would give Musa, they would give Tochocha while they're giving the Malkus. So Bikoristia means Bikroi Tehei, we should read it the right act. It means that you give a Malkus. So the Maral Miprag has a comment in his Sefer on Pirish Rashi. The Guraye is by the Maral Miprag, a commentary on Pirish Rashi. So he points out, isn't that strange? That's the way you describe Malkus. Bikroi tehei. You should read it the right act. So he says, you see from here, when you give an oinish miso to a person that did an avera, is miso supposed to serve as a deterrent, or is it for the future, or is it an oinish l'shover? What deterrent? He's killing the guy. He's gestorben. He's dead. So it's not, that's clearly a punishment l'shover. The shaila is malchus. Malchus, you're not allowed to kill him. You have to make sure that if he can't take 39 malchus, you give him much less. You have to make sure of Nikla Chichle Necha, he should survive after the Malkus. So that's what the Maramli Prag raises the question, is the purpose of Malkus to serve as a deterrent for the future? Or do you say, no, it's a punishment to Shavar, but he doesn't deserve such a punishment like death penalty, he just deserves Malkus. So from the fact that Gorari says, from the fact that the Chazal understand Bikoristi and Bikroi Tehei, you recite the Psukim and reading the Psukim of Musar and Tochocha, that's the essence of the Malkus. You see that the purpose of the role of Malkus is to give the Musar, to serve as a deterrent, Lahabo. It's not at all to serve as an Oynish L'shomer. Rabbi Yosef Engel points out this Maralmi Prag, and then he starts fishing around Shas to see if he has Rayas for or against this. But the Maralmi Prag clearly says like that. Do you have any other Avera with his Malkus, Bei Meshekik, Bei Memezit? Is there such a thing? So on the first daf in Temura, there are 2 days in Tesis, on Beis Amid Aleph. The Gemara says towards the end of Temura that it's Bein Meshegig, Bein Memezah, it does make a difference. So the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is, Ba'yahu is Marasa Yer Kodesh, that everybody says, Harezu Tachazu, whether I did it Bein Memezah, whether I knew that it's improper, I didn't realize it's improper. In either case, Ba'yahu is Marasa Yer Kodesh, the Temura is Chal. So Tosis has one of Mechudish Dik opinion, Beim Shaking Beim Amazed, the one who did the Tmura gets Malkus. Also difficult. Who ever heard of such a thing? How can it be such a thing that you give Malkus for one who violated an Aver B'Shaking? That Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and Shabbos is a Pella, and the Tosis on the first daf and Tmura is also a Pella. Then in Parshas Kedoshim we have so many. Every half a pasuk is another parsha, is another din. Then you have the dinim of Orlo, Revai, Chisavoy Alorot, and the Taitim Kolatz Michael. So the first 3 years, everything is Orlo. It says Beferish Chisavoy Al Haaretz, when you come to Eretz Yisrael. Sounds like the din of Orlo does not apply in Chutzlo. So the Mishnah says Orlo does apply. The Mishnah in Kiddushin says Mitzvah Satliz Baritz only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Orlo is an exception to the rule. It even applies in Chutzlort. The Gemara has a machlokes, but the Orla b'Chutzlort is halacha l'Moshe Sinai, or it's the Rabbanan. The Mishnah says that it's halacha. What does halacha mean? Halacha means halacha l'Moshe Sinai, or the Rabbanan. So that's a machlokes. The Rambam is Rambam accepts halacha that it's halacha l'Moshe Sinai. That's a famous machlokes. The Rambam with the Goyim. The Rambam quotes the Goyim and he disagrees. That's very unusual. The Rambam writes in his Hakdamah to the Mishnah Torah, he's only going to quote one opinion the way we pass from Allah. But every so often, he'll quote the Goyim and disagree. So here he quotes, the Goyim are of the opinion that if you eat Orla B'chutz Lortz, you get Malkus. And the Rambam says, how can it be? It's only Halakha L'Moshe Messina. You only get Malkus if you violate a law that's written in the Chumash. So Rab Chaim Soloveitchik has in the Sefer on the Rambam a famous explanation, an interpretation of the Shitas HaGoyim. How did they come to such an idea that you get Malkus? Then the Rambam quotes another psak from the Goyim regarding Revai. You have Paris and Revai. He's supposed to bring the net to Revai. The Paris, the first, fourth year, supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim to eat. And if it's too difficult, it's too far, it's too much of a tircha, then you poid it just like Maaseh Sheni. You poid it and you bring the money to Yerushalayim. And you buy food and you eat the food b'kedusha v'tahara, same as Maaseh Sheni. So the next pasuk says, "Vashana hamishis tochlas pirio lahosu lachem tvu asoy ani Hashem alakechem." So the Rambam writes that the pasuk pshat is the fifth year. After you plant the tree, the parents that grow the fifth year are neither orla nor revai. So there are no restrictions, no conditions. You just eat it and enjoy it. That's the pasuk pshat. Because the goyim had shigigas hayro, they made a mistake in psak. The Rambam in Hilchas Macholas Asuris quotes, the goyim made a shigigas hayro. They interpreted Vashana Harviz here called Piriya Kodesh. Everything is Nata Revai. Hilulim, the Gemara says, Yepoida. Hilulim you interpret as if it were written with a ches. Hilulim. You can be Mechal Achle, Vahoder Achle. You can be Poided, and then you can eat it chutz li Yerushalayim. But when you pay the and you want to eat the chutz Yerushalayim, b'shana chamishis tachlos period. Whatever peris net the revai you were paid there, if you want to eat it in Yerushalayim, so eat it the fourth year. And if you want to be paid it and take the money to Yerushalayim, then you want to eat the peris chutz Yerushalayim, you have to wait to eat the peris till the fifth year. B'shana chamishis tachlos period, the peris that you were just paid in the fourth year, you have to wait till the fifth year to be paid. So the Raman quotes that and he says, Zu shigigas hayros, absolutely a mistake. Where in the world did the Goyim get such a wild idea? They got it on their own. So the answer is, it's an ofen of Yerushalmi in the end of Saita. And Perach Mashuach Melchama, the Mishnah talks about the three choysim Yerha Melchama, Mihu Isha Shanata Kerem Ola Chilolo. So what do you mean, not the Kerem Ola Chilolo? Chilola Kerem is in the fourth year. The first 3 years when you plant the Kerem, it's Orlo. The fourth year it's going to be Neter Avai. Well, Chilolo, you weren't Paida. So the Yerushalmi has such an opinion that you have to wait when you Paida Neter Avai, you have to wait till the fifth year. The Rambam holds that it's a shigiga, so it does mean it's absolutely ridiculous, utterly, utterly ridiculous. There's a shita in Yerushalmi like that. He holds you shouldn't paska like that opinion in Yerushalmi. But it clearly has a mocker. Mocker is in the Yerushalmi. The Rambam quotes the dinim of shaving off the payas and the beard with a razor and so on in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. And he explains why in the Mar Nevuchim and explains in the Mishnah Torah B'Kitzer, this prohibition is because this was the practice of the galochim. That's why we call them galochim. They used to shave their payas with a razor. So we're not allowed to do like them. So the Rambam has a din there, and the Ravid writes a hasog on one of the dinim of the Rambam. It's not exactly clear what the Ravid is being masig about. So one reading, I said it over wrong, the Ravid has a hasoga there. The Ravid has a comment on the Ram Hilchas Avodah Zarah. We know what he says. We're not sure whether the Rambam disagrees with the Ravid. Not sure whether the Ravid is interpreting the Rambam or the Ravid is disagreeing with the Rambam. When the Rambam writes the Minyan HaMitzvahs in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, he has the whole Sefer HaMitzvahs, then he reviews Bekitzer. Minyan HaMitzvahs Bekitzer. So there's a Hasagas HaRavid there. On the Minyan HaMitzvahs. There are a few Hasagas HaRavids on the Sefer HaMitzvahs because it's part of the Mishnah Torah. So the way the old Girsa in Hasagas HaRavid is, the way the Kes Mishnah had the Girsa, the Ravid is being medayik the Loshon HaPasuk. How come Lo Sakif HaPas Roshchem is written in the plural, but Lo Sashchis HaPas Gonecha is written in the singular? So the way the Kes Mishnah had the Girsa in the Ravid is making Adrasha, that the Gemara says Lo Sakifu is in the plural, Lav LaMakif, Lav LaNikif. If it's a Jewish barber who shaves off my payas, so I'm over an aver and the barber is over an aver. But Lo Sashchis Pasuk Onecho is written in the singular, so there's no Lav LaMashchis, Lav LaNishchis, there's only a Lav on one of them. Who was the Lav on? That's the question. So that's the old Girsa, that the Rebbe wrote Lav LaMashchis, Lav LaMakif, Lav LaNikif, Lav LaMashchis, Velo LaNishchis. There's only one Lav here. By Lo Sakifut, it's Lo Sherabim, there are two Lavim. The Rambam should have counted it as two lavim, and by Hashchasas Pas Azokan should only be counted as one. And others say that that's not the correct reading in the Ravid, that that's not at all what the Ravid was saying, because there's a Beferisha Tosefta that says that the fact that Lo Sakif was written in the plural, Lav LaMakif, Lav LaNikif, applies also to Lo Sashchis Pas Ganecha. Despite the fact that it's written in the singular, Tosefta says that the plural applies to the Hashchasas Pas Azokan as well. Parshas Kedoshim, every half a pasuk is another din. Okay, Tov.
Can you follow that Tosefta that the Hashpatas Atasa Zakin applies to both people?
I think it must be probably quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That they both apply, the plural applies to both. Yeah.
Despite the way it's written.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Gemara say that it's like eating pigs in a basket, like the Lav Hanika, and then it says that it's Messiah? Doesn't say that. It's just by being